Okay, I've got 259 on my computer. Wait for a couple of seconds and call the order. Close enough, Amelia?
It is 3:00 for me.
Okay. Call us, Rancho Murrieta Community Services District Special Board Meeting for February 27th, 2020 to order. Budget presentation. Roll call vote. A roll call.
Director Clark.
Here.
Director Janko. Absent. Director Butler.
Here.
Director Merchant.
Here.
Director Mabee.
Yes.
Thank you for coming.
Okay. Entertain a motion to adopt the agenda. Go ahead.
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda.
I will second. All in favor? Aye.
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 Director Merchant stepped out for a moment. All opposed? Motion carries. Comments from the public on this particular meeting. Public may only comment on items specifically agendized. Are there any public comments at this time on this item? Okay, then seeing none, we'll move on to item number four, review fiscal year 2020-2021 draft budget. Tom?
Good afternoon and thank you for coming. This presentation is the first of the series of budget workshops and meetings such that we'll hold up until the point where the budget finally gets approved, and you'll see the final schedule at the end of this presentation. The meeting today is going to provide a general budget overview of how we do the budget here at Rancho Murrieta, review the assumptions that we're making. Critical to it is overview some of the payroll assumptions. We talk about some notable items, kind of touch on a few of the new requests, and then we'll talk about how we go about estimating the revenues, which result in us releasing our Prop 218 notice a little less than a month from today. So we'll be busy to that point and then thereafter, and then we'll go to the next steps in the schedule.
All right.
So, key to this whole process, and you know, Mark is really clear on his direction to focus on the board goals. And, you know, in my life and in his life in government, we find that if you can focus on the board goals, you usually have a happier board. But also, the goals of the district are going to do that if we pay attention to that. And so, moving to the top of the list from the last board meeting is the management reserve study and review existing status and develop 5 and 10 year plans. You may say, well, how about where's the 25 and 30 year plan? And there's plenty of time to talk about that. But right now, I think we really need to focus on where we want to be in 5 and 10 years, because I really see that as being a critical point in the growth of the district. We want to be able to effectively manage the district finances, and that used to be the top step, and we're happy to move down around it, because ever since Cindy got here, things have better finance. So we want to assess our long-term financial system options, and that includes, we'll talk about it later, but really taking a hard look at what we're doing with Great Plains and various spreadsheets and other online software. We also want to enhance our rate setting analysis and our procedures. And this came up in last week. And then security services are always a big topic here, and it's really the collaborative joint enforcement is the top of the list for how security services go for you guys. And then review the Measure J bond option, where that, how that was developed, and I don't know where you want to go with that, but it's on the list, so we'll find time to work on that.
If I could, before we, Jeff's not here, he had a medical leave today that he had scheduled, and so he's out all day today, but we can discuss whatever we need to about security.
Okay, all right.
And then there's more to water services in the two bullets, but I really had to squeeze onto this page. But finishing up with our permit extension and talk a bit about the 2020 water conservation plan update. And I believe the third bullet in the list has something to do with, I forget, it's right here. And then facilitate enhanced community education and outreach. And that is develop metrics to measure improvement and always try to be more transparent. That's a common theme in all government. So under general assumptions, this is really different than last year. Last year we were making the assumption that we're going to sell 26 permits, or bringing 26 homes online. We expect to have all 78 of the Murrieta Gardens 2 homes as regular ratepayers by July. There are 20 or 21 empty lots behind the gates. So optimistically or conservatively, we say maybe 5 new homes will get built inside the gates. And as of now, we've got commitments of 2 new commercial facilities will open. That's Rayleigh, which is slated to open April 29th, and then the Starbucks. But I'm thinking more commercial places will open right now, but this is conservative because this is what I got from the developers.
If I can ask a couple of questions.
Yeah.
So the 5 new inside the compound, does that include any of the developments? Windcrest on the south and the other developer over on East Hills or whatever. So this would just be, whatever vacant lots we think taking swag that somebody's going to develop.
Yeah, we'll have to look at Riverview. I mean, that's out of properties that could possibly develop. I think Riverview is.
Yeah, so earlier on when they were pinging us, they were eager to start work. And since then, when they started initially contacting us, there's been no contact at all. So that's why there's been kind of, we backed off of it at this point.
But I don't think I don't think it's realistic to think you'd have occupancy.
I wouldn't think so in this fiscal year.
They have to grade that entire site. They had talked about grading the entire site and then building possibly 22 homes.
Yeah.
Like you said, haven't started the process now.
Not realistic.
They probably already.
What about the retreats? Anything on the north side? Anything going on with them? Okay.
Equally as far along as that we're aware of.
And then
even farther, yes.
What are your guesstimates on the water consumption, either in volume or revenue, for the two commercial sites?
Well, we haven't dove into that at all. The Rayleigh's obviously probably use quite a bit of water. The Starbucks, yes, quite a bit.
I think they use purple pipe. I'm not sure. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to start anything. I don't know how these things get started.
That's from Dutch Brother.
Actually, there's no water in there.
Yeah. You'll see later on that we're estimating a 5% increase overall in water consumption.
And that's fine. I figured we got to have some ballpark, and obviously this time next year we'll have a year's experience of what the commercial's doing. So.
Well, in June, when the final budget's approved, when we tweak the final numbers, we'll know because the Rayleigh's a little bit open.
Mm-hmm. And the Starbucks is separate, not inside the Rayleigh's?
Correct.
Yes. Yeah, it's a standalone.
And are they calling it Rayleigh's or Bel Air?
Bel Air.
Bel Air.
Okay.
Bel Air.
Yeah, it's Rayleigh family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Teal family.
So our budget priorities focus on the board goals. Improvements to the management of district finances. We continue to grow that experience. I think we're good 6 months out from just being every day. It happens every day, just like normal, and I think that's where we're headed. Enhanced security services, water conservation, and storage capacity options.
What does the one second from the bottom mean, enhance?
Well, we have a slide that talks about it, but basically Jeff has implemented FastPass. They've done some more work with the patrol software. They improved the body cam. They're working on communications. They want to do something to add some video capacity.
So it's technology driven?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of it is just, it's technology driven, but the officers making sure they hit all these points every day and it's tracked by GPS. We can answer questions about how long they are in one neighborhood versus the other based upon the travel history. So all the things that Jeff talked about with the ABDI system.
And although we're working to improve our collaboration with RMA and other entities, it's not necessarily a budget driven item. It's just more of a coordination and collaboration. Mm-hmm.
But staff level involvement.
Correct.
Okay.
Paul, do you want to go outside for this presentation?
Yeah, you know, it's blinding. It's a map. Yeah, see. There's a map behind the little board.
I was going to say, either that or your expo board. Roll the expo board.
The River Valley Times.
That's a good idea.
A bunch of the River Valley Times.
That's okay.
I was going to say, can I go out like this?
Oh, that's
fine.
That's much better.
I'm going to go sit over there now.
You're going to want to, still.
Nothing for a day.
Okay.
Richard, if it gets boring, you can doodle while we're...
Okay, moving on. So, the general drivers and assumptions for the budget, CalPERS rate increases and workers' comp adjustments will increase the overall rates. We have, and we'll talk about that in a little bit better detail below. We have the end of our three-year contract with OE3, which is about 2/3 of our staff. That expires December 31st this year. And so beginning any time now, we start the whole process of going into negotiations for new contracts.
Walk me through that process. Who represents the district?
So in the past, last time it was me. So I would meet with the representative from OE3, and they would come with their negotiation points, and we would respond. And then there's a series of meetings in closed session with the board to review. You know, we go through about two or three iterations.
Okay.
And then in closed session, if there's a final agreement, we come to a closed session, and then if parties agree in a public meeting. But likely what we want to do is wrap up the whole process by December at the very latest.
Oh yeah.
That might even be too late. Last time, and this started before I came on board, I think Ed Krause initiated it. OE3 was not being responsive. There were quite a few delays in them getting back with starting the process. This year we're going to press a lot harder to start it earlier, get it done in time, because we want to ideally implement whatever changes as of January 1st. Last time we were into the spring by the time we got everything, and just to have it signed by the union, once everything's signed and approved, took almost 2 months, I think, after everything was already worked out, because it goes to about 15 people for signature on their side. So our goal is to get everything with a bow on it in December at the very latest. Yeah.
So to begin with, we do a salary survey, and once that gets back, then we start looking at the whole picture. And then, fortunately, with this development, we're estimated a nice jump in property taxes of $60,000, and that's conservative. But that's the 78 new homes, that's the new businesses, that's a lot of homes being sold within behind the gates, where the base value jumps a whole lot. If you bought a house recently, you're going to pay a lot more in taxes than you bought from. So there's just been a lot of that going on, and so we're comfortable with an increase of a budgeted increase of $60,000 over the current fiscal year.
Is there some kind of now concrete formula that what is it, total property tax times something, or is it?
There is a formula that the county has a formula for special districts, and that is you know, it's like a, it's just a fraction, and
yeah,
and believe it or not, it gets applied to a number of different districts by type of district. So it may not necessarily make sense if it's just a water district versus us that has a whole bunch of functions.
But there is an actual.
But it's, there's a percentage.
0.000
that, yeah,
something.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. That's okay. A good way to describe it.
And then our return is based upon the valuation of all our properties.
Right.
We end up with a 0.00421.
Yeah. Times the total valuation
of our property.
Yeah.
Do they tell you what the total valuation number is? Do we know what that number is?
Yes.
We do?
Ooh, yeah.
I'd like to know that number.
We'll look for that.
Okay.
I remember seeing it last year. I think it came out in like October.
Yeah, usually it's
like
it's
that.
Fall time.
But yeah, we'll get you that.
Okay, cool.
So over the next 12 months, beginning over a 12-month period, I spelled January wrong.
It's close enough.
Mm-hmm. Our smut bill's going up 9% from this January to next January. So that's a big deal. The capital reserve replacement contributions across all funds will be adjusted based upon where we get with the board, and hopefully we can really make some, start gaining ground on that in the next couple months once we get the budget process rolling. We'll even focus on that a little bit, get some time to look at the oil reserve study and figure out what we want to do going forward.
Can I ask you a question, back up one on SMUD?
Sure.
Do we now have numbers that tell us what the benefit is of the solar that we installed and the numbers?
Yeah,
Do we know that?
I thought we saw that like maybe a couple months ago.
We have the potential to do a better baseline now.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last time we revisited this in depth was we had just started to implement it,
right,
and we might have visited it since, but there was a while back, quite a bit back, when right after implementing, and we started discussing that, but we just didn't have enough months of history. And Paul, you were going to say something.
So I had, once it was brought up, I had taken the bills that I get from admin staff, and then have taken our primary accounts, like you saw in my PowerPoint presentation,
right,
to track what our primary accounts are. And then recently, since the SMUD systems come online, they changed their billing name, some complications, but I've been tracking that as well. I just haven't calced it out. So I could bring that forward to administration to.
Yeah, I thought it was in the tens of thousands. I don't know why I'm saying that, but that,
I mean, this is just justification.
I mean it goes back to when they put it in,
and our rate stays steady.
Right.
But you know, Jerry was telling us that they were going to be paying us. I mean, you know, pretty much.
Yeah, it's.
I understand what Paul's doing, and what I'd like to do is play that against, you know, the leasing costs in general, just to see what the net is.
Correct.
Where we get.
And that's what we definitely want to see.
And if it's great news, then maybe we ought to start.
You have your lease costs, and then you still have your existing SMUD bill.
Right.
Is that more or less than what
we're
paying
before? And I never got, and it just, maybe it's just me, but I never really thought I understood.
4.5 in 2020.
But I think it's important information for budgeting purposes going forward, and affects the bottom line, you know, projections. I think that's the reason for the question. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Okay.
And just one more thing on the second item, the capital replacement reserves right now, contributions right now are availability driven with a percentage allocation. And as we get into the five-year capital, the CIP, CRP, you know, that may probably should lead to budget need projections for each service that's provided.
Projections,
water,
on
sewer.
On what the revenue, or the monthly revenue.
No, what our expenditures, might be. So as we go forward and do a five-year CIP, CRP, you know, that will generate expected expenditures for those years, and so that will play a role in the demands for the available funds.
You're absolutely right. You end up with a large spreadsheet with a lot of columns and a lot of rows, and you know every year what you should be replacing because the expected life is here, and that year you got this many items you're expecting to replace, and then what you do is you,
right,
you do an average of 5 years and let that 5 year keep rolling, and that's pretty much a standard.
Yeah, the only thing. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, right now we're considering it, you know, as reserve replacement reserve contributions, and at least percentages for those contributions to water and sewer and, you know, security and, you know, drainage and those types of things. We should have an idea of the proportionality of the demands for capital replacement from the
yeah,
plans.
I think most of the equipment, I mean, you probably have some operational equipment that's equally
sure
between
yeah
water and sewer, but a lot of it is dedicated towards water or drainage.
Yeah, the 2014 study was predominantly, when you looked at it, was sewer.
Right.
Right.
There was, you know, hundreds of miles of this stuff, that 15, some of it yeah which was 35 years old or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's just a comment. Go ahead.
Another budget assumption is information systems maintenance and expenses will be maintained across all funds with the district's move to stay current with technology and financial management. And that just goes to talk about our primary financial system grade plan, whether we want to stick with it or we want to move on to something more normal for special districts and general fund accounting versus regular cash accounting that they do in private industry. Then we need $10,000 to cover our election costs.
This increased significantly over last time. There's a base rate, and then there's a per voter, registered voter rate, and per voter went up a fair amount, but the base rate almost doubled to bring us to $10,000. I think the last time it was $4,000 or $5,000.
And we just wanted to point out that we need to start paying a lease for the Yellow Bridge. Not much, but new items for it. And I think it's important because we utilize that bridge for our
mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Is that an annual expense? Or?
Yes.
Say that part again.
The lease for our utilities across the Yellow Bridge.
Oh, the lease. Okay.
What it is it's the State Lands Commission for anything that crosses. It's a public right, a public waterway. So any structure that crosses that's not the state's, I think probably even the state has to at least track and permit their own facilities across the river. But if it's private, especially, there's a lease required. So they just track what's going across their area of authority, basically, which is the river, the high water point of the river, basically.
Mm-hmm. Out of here.
On either side.
But there's dual usage of the bridge, and so RMCC.
Yeah, to be clear on that,
RMCC may have a role to play in that.
Correct. To be clear, when we discovered all this, because we were re-upping ours, mm-hmm. and initially the understanding was by the State Lands Commission that we owned the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then so we, as part of this last effort, split apart what was our responsibility, which is our utilities running across the bridge. And then I referred them to Mr. Sullivan, whose group technically owns the bridge, although the maintenance and such has been pushed onto the country club. As part of their agreement. But now my understanding was from the State Lands Commission that they had engaged Sullivan's group to also have a second lease for the actual bridge, its structure itself.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two leases on that bridge.
Right.
And what, Tom, what's your number at the bottom?
Is that $540 annual lease?
Oh.
Yeah. But that was nothing. I mean, it's a change, but
yeah. I was answering the question.
My head was already going, well, what if we ran the water over the bridge we already own? You know? But maybe for $540,
it's fine where it's at.
Do we know? I'm quite sure it was before. Yeah, it was long before my time. But do we know who did build that? The operating engineers?
The Yellow Bridge. That's really old.
That's a state.
State.
state turned over.
That might have been a state highway or something.
Yeah.
It was original.
Rich.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's, I think Randy Janko was in high school.
Did they have cars back then?
Somebody probably drove a Model T over there.
That's right. It was a hay driven.
And there were two of them, by the way.
Yeah.
On that same topic. On the same topic, we're making progress on the wooden pedestrian bridge.
Okay.
And that is now something I found some time to work on today. And that is going to be an issue with the RMA being responsible for that easement. Luckily, State Lands Commission hasn't come after us hard right now to press on that.
All right. Hey, Tom.
Okay, so we're estimating the health insurance rates for both retirees and active employees to increase at 10% in January. We did the same estimate of 10% last year. This January, they went up 6%. So it's a conservative estimate, but it's better to be conservative on this because the health insurance is a significant expense for the district as far as employees go. Our OPEB contribution, which is our contribution to our trust fund to pay for the retiree medical, will be budgeted It was at 187 in 1920, and we'll get an evaluation pretty soon for the 2021 number. And then there's the OE3 negotiations with the salary increases. We're listing the unrepresented salary increases to be $50,000. That is not a given that it happens that way, but Mark has the authority to determine. So for the unrep employees, we get hired and we're not guaranteed a salary increase.
Correct.
Every year in April or so, we go through an evaluation and a performance review, and based upon that, our salary increases. So last year, we budgeted $45,000 for potential for Mark to issue salary increases, and so we made it $50,000. It can be lowered, it can be raised, it's just an even number for us.
How many employees are we talking about?
Eight, five in this room, plus Jeff. So I guess that's.
Well, there's.
And then
Travis Rick. And Ron. Right?
So there's nine: Travis, Ron, Jeff, Rick, us five, and Jeff. So nine.
Okay.
And then our PERS, Classic, and our PEPRA retirement contributions, as we try to get more caught up all the time with what PERS thinks we have as responsibility to care retirement, is estimated to increase $60,000. And that's based upon current actuarial valuations. And that's actually a little bit less than CalPERS anticipated. CalPERS has recently said that their financial picture is improving and that agencies are catching up. I think I saw something that said they're now like 73% of their actuarial responsibility to pay their retirees and tell you.
He obviously hasn't looked at the stock market.
Yeah.
And yesterday.
It was printed
the day before.
The last six, matter of fact.
It was printed last week. You know. Okay, so for administration, now we're going to just get into a little bit more specific. financial reporting changes in admin, utilizing our systems to generate reports rather than utilizing Excel spreadsheets. Trying to do a much better job of communicating our monthly finances. And then, again, you saw a mid-year budget adjustment, a mid-year analysis. We weren't able to do that last year. We're able to do it this year, and I think it's a good practice to go in mid-year and do budget adjustments with your experience. We want to look at our rates and be able to better justify why this business is paying that much more, why this business has to continue to pay as much as they're being charged. And as we get a little bit more bandwidth in finance, we're able to kind of focus on stuff like that rather than just keeping the lights on. Again, address the long-term CIP and CRP projects and the evaluation of our financial systems replacement, which is going to be important task for Cindy and I to work on this year. We want to focus on financial health. We want to continue to pay for a contract temporary co-op student, an intern, to help with operations and general administrative support. Our ULP student, we thought did a great job last year. He got most of the way, more than halfway through all of our escrow files, which is a very tedious job. We're trying to find a way to make that easier to manage going forward, and also to utilize all the scanning that's been done.
Just real quickly on that, I thought we set aside money specifically for the student program.
We did.
Okay, so, and I don't remember what that number is. Obviously, it's reflected in here, but I don't remember combining it with either contract or temporary.
Yeah, we did have it set apart last year. This year, we wanted to have more flexibility on it.
Okay.
Part of it is even looking, like Paul is actually seeking to hire an intern from Folsom City College.
Okay.
So rather than restrict ourselves to one university, one program, we thought it would make more sense.
Right, and
still
I wasn't looking
at that
to the
program,
university,
but also,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just having more options available to us.
Then is that truly a reflective number? Because if we have two students potentially.
You know, that was enough for a half of the year.
For one.
If we wanted to, but we paid our intern a competitive rate.
Right.
If you go to a junior college, the competitive rate might be $5 an hour less, where that might go 7 months instead of six.
Okay.
I would prefer it be higher so we could have consistent support in an intern format. And that includes somebody part-time who's just their summer job, if they can be trained to be productive, as opposed to having to go through a college or a junior college program.
I guess I'll speak my piece. Yes, to what you just said. Mm-hmm. So, and I would say at this point, reflective that number, it's another 5 or 7 or whatever it is, we can whittle it down at the end, as opposed to, oh, we got to remember to come back and put it in.
Take it from somewhere
because,
else.
Because, again, I thought the understanding was with the student, wherever it came from, the one that was assigned for your responsibilities, I thought as a board we wanted that continuous. So that's where my only issue is if we are looking at a temp, I don't want to be robbing Peter to pay
sure.
Paul out of that one, because we have other funds for temporary. I just think,
okay.
To me, the consistency, not necessarily with the person, but the position, I think is going to be critical, because you're going to follow all of a sudden, hey, I'm finding I need this person.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily want to go full time, but if we're competitive, then that's a stopgap. That's, I've said enough, but that's
okay. Yeah. Especially with the consideration of an additional position, temporary position, so.
Okay, noted.
Okay, moving on.
And then the new initiatives basically give Mark a little bit of flexibility as we see important initiatives come up that are going to help us in one way or the other that weren't actually budgeted, but it gives him the ability to make some decisions. I think it's been helpful this year, for sure. Sticking with it's an administrative note, the workers' comp insurance by GSRMA is expected to increase 25%. The bigger reason we need to focus more and more on training to eliminate the stretch and the twist injuries. And then our general liability insurance, which covers things like automotive and every other thing you can think of, including the insurance for the dam, is anticipated to increase 5%. And that's swag at this point.
No, I understand.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to go down much.
Then, and the general manager will have to stop me if I go too far on this. I thought the understanding we had was with some staff reassignments or openings that have been filled or will be filled, some of our inherent worker comp processes costs should go down. Now, I don't know if it's just because of how things are being dealt with.
We our costs, if in the last review of this, if you look, really broke out what our cost increases were due to, if there was one case that absorbed most of that cost and drove a lot of our increase, and then they average it over a period of years, we're still in that average period right now. Okay. We actually expect it to drop once that case falls out of their average, the way that they calculate our fee, and then we should see a decrease.
Okay. And I guess let me be a little bit more specific.
Or at least less of an increase.
No, I thought we had some process costs of how the former workers' comp manager was managing and what she did and how it was done. At least that's my understanding in closed session, and I anticipated some cost savings there.
How about light duty?
It was either that or just how we caused employees to step through hoops.
So, in the past, the general...
And I don't want to get bogged down, but I just thought that there was some cost savings coming with movement of personnel. Leave it at that. So I'm fine. If we haven't, fine. If we don't...
Yeah.
Oh, I just don't want to take everybody's time.
No, sure. In the past, the district's personnel position was we wouldn't allow employees to come back on light duty.
And that's what I'm talking about.
And when I got here, I come from an environment where people worked on light duty.
Right.
And often the case was they were more motivated to complete their physical therapy and get back.
It is a great
case for the patrol car versus the administrative
people.
Office where they were scanning and filing. But we worked with GSRMA, and they're totally open to us bringing people back on light duty. We have an employee right now who's itching to get back to work on light duty.
Right.
And he's waiting for the doctor to give him clearance. So yeah, he can actually work until he, prior to being able to lift 100 pounds and drag a sled up a hill. He can come back and do, functions that are very useful to the district. The case Mark is talking about is we have a perfectly capable employee, but if doctor would not release him to the rigors of being a maintenance worker for a long period of time. And so that's when we approached the light duty option. Mm-hmm. It just happened to be about the same time he was able to start doing the regular work. So we're totally open to it. There's nothing in the district code file procedure that says we can't.
Right.
It was just sort of a pervasive opinion that no light duty, only full work. And so that is
changed. Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, so and part of that is still I'm still trying to understand why it was that way in the past too, because if there was a reason for it, at least understanding why.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. The light duty.
Oh,
absolutely. And it's like Tom
it cures more people than modern medicine.
Yeah. Okay. We'll leave that.
So with the 25% increase, what's that number look like?
Oh, I know it. It's like 35,000.
Yeah, that's about
it. I think last year it was about 135, and I think this year coming year is about 170.
170,000.
Cindy will know the number better because she has a spreadsheet she can look at. I don't have a spreadsheet.
I'm just trying to get a relevance. That's all.
Okay.
Any other workers' comp options? Self-insure for part, anything that people do that makes sense?
We can look into that.
I don't know whether there is or not. I never,
question.
I just held my nose. I held my nose and paid it for 30 years.
Yeah.
I never used it. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know if there's, if you're playing with $170,000.
Usually bigger agencies will, after a $2 million mark, will be self-funded. But I think our size, it's still a pretty reasonable cost.
Because we have a lot of resources available to us that only need to work for us, a couple hours every week. But, we had a real expert person help me for an hour and a half this week to allow one of our employees off duty to come in for training. And said, we'll just keep them on workers' comp for that hour and save you all some money and go back and forth. So I think Tim's right. at our size, I don't think it makes sense to try to have a workers' comp on our own. There are other risk agencies. I mean, there's CFDRMA, which is Special Districts Risk Management Association, or GSRMA, which is Golden State Risk Management. And we used to be with CBSRMA. Yes. And we could, if we ever went out to bed, we could plot them against each other, and I'm sure they swap clients all the time. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's something we make into an initiative between now and, you know, where we want to go. And then our total administrative expenses are proposed to increase predominantly due to technology upgrades and financial operations. That's for administration. So that's what we see as our expenses increasing related to that. And then we get to the water fund. And again, this is a repeat, but we're just taking a swag at 5 new homes will be built behind the gates. All but 8 of the lots have pulled permits for water meters out of the 78 KHOG. They came in about 16 more permits.
You're talking about Marietta Gardens.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there's just 8 of those lots that Sullivan still owns, and mm-hmm. the rest of them belong to KHOG now. And then the 2 commercial water question, like I said earlier, we're projecting an increase 5%. We can be more specific as we get closer. Paul is requesting to replace 6 water treatment plant filtration modules in the next fiscal year. The dam permit costs are increasing 8% to $68,000 this coming year.
Possibly, yeah. So we don't have a specific calc as to it yet.
Right.
They gave us a formula, but don't tell you actually how to figure that out. So it's something I'm going to be in contact with them to actually get a clear number.
Completely off subject, but it was in one of the things on water storage. I know that Army Corps of Engineers is now going to start raising the levees around Folsom. It's the first time it's ever been done in the country. They have no idea how to do it. This was back in 2005 when I was aware of it. So I don't know if in your circle of as that goes, is that really an option for us? Like I said, Army Corps in 2005, when they said they're going to raise those levees, earthen dams, 10 feet, they had no idea. 2021, we're moving forward.
So, as it relates to our levies in the district, they already went through a review and certification a few years back, mm-hmm. post-Katrina.
Right.
That's when I found out we had levies. And so those are good and certified to the 100-year flood protection level. There's no need to raise those. If you're talking about potentially raising the dams,
yeah.
There was actually a project looked back in early 1990s, I found plan sheets in the plan room. I'm like, what are these? They were draft plans to raise one of the reservoirs.
Okay.
And that's where you would get the biggest bang for your buck on storage.
Correct.
But then again, there's the cost associated. And then you would have to pass that along to future developers and say, what is it worth $20 million and X number of rooftops to get X more amount of water?
And those are two separate issues, flood control and water storage.
Right.
Totally. And right now our methods for predicting required water are very comfortable.
Yeah, we have no, long and short is we have no plans to raise anything at
right.
this point.
And we're doing a dam stability. I mean, we are in the middle of a dam stability analysis right now. We're waiting for the final results
flood
of that.
Analysis.
For the flood analysis, yeah, right.
So
which includes a dam failure analysis.
Correct. Filtration modules, did we reserve for those?
Yes,
we did, right?
My understanding that every
subsequent you'll pay for. Right?
Yeah, every budget since the water plant was built, Darlene had rolled that into the budget, and I believe that's been carried forward.
Okay. More on water. We want to do some study on fees to for cost recovery of staff time for, Paul had a real long list, so we fill up 2 slides, so I just said we'll crunch it all into study district fees for cost recovery of staff time, evaluate fines for misuse of district infrastructure, And that's anything from having to go fix a water meter where somebody decided to dig a hole on the wrong side, to where they cut off a lock where we locked them off their water meter, where they built hedges over the water meter, and you know, any sort of thing where we've had to spend a significant amount of staff time doing something that was caused by a resident that they shouldn't have done. And we may end up evaluating the cost of installing a water meter and stuff like that. So now that we have a tiny bit of bandwidth, maybe we can take some time to look at some of these fees and get better care of our infrastructure. We're seeing a lot of expenditure increases in chemical and chemical testing, in large part because of the manganese issue, but also related to new regulations where Paul has to do more and more testing. So they'll see the bump in the budget this year and expenditures is high, but we're trying to figure out what to budget for next year, so we're a little bit closer to budget.
Well, last year we had a lot of spike in certain chemicals. Or this year, are you seeing any other new trends?
Not really.
Okay.
So I think we should be fairly on par.
Stable. Okay.
How is that going to address the niche ones?
That's our drainage budget.
Those are pellets.
Just ask them.
It's not water.
Did it come back around?
Oh, yeah.
It goes to our aesthetics committee.
Perfect.
All right.
Hey, John, going back, that number on the workers' comp increase was $31,000.
Okay.
Okay, and then we're trying to do a good job of getting caught up on replacing the water meter, so Paul's trying to spend a little bit more time on it next year. There's a cost, and there's an increased cost of the water meters, and we want to purchase more water meters and get the older meters out and newer meters in. And the newer meters, you know, have better technology. It's not like you're going to be able to see active meter reading anytime soon. We studied that, and that was clearly about $500,000 to make that happen here. But the more modern meters run better, we can read them more easily, be more efficient. And then there's a spike in maintenance and repair of the equipment. You'll see the same item as in sewer, and we'll probably have to need to discuss it as part of the whole reserve process. But there's a lot of equipment, parts, and things that are old. And as Paul's getting, you know, able to start doing regular maintenance and keep up with things, we're finding some expenditures that are high. That I think, you know, we should be able to say this is a capital replacement item.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the big reasons we pushed to have Mark have some authority with the capital reserve funds to approve replacement of items that fall into the category of being more than $5,000, having a lifespan of, you know, 20 years.
Right.
And so you can put it in the profit and loss budget each year, or you can put it in a reserve. But it's something that we'll address as we get to the reserve analysis and as we move forward in the budget.
So I communicated with a colleague of mine who is the head of the Elk Grove Water District, and I asked the question, do you maintain an operating budget for emergency repairs and a, you know, a distinct budget for that versus reserves under like a CIP, CRP scenario? And he said, absolutely, yes. In fact, they're large enough, they've got a large enough user base that they even split out their emergency operating budget between vehicles and other types of expenses. We're probably small enough that we want the flexibility to be able to just have a pot and then assign it where the issues come up.
What was last year's amount?
Last year we budgeted in this particular line item. We budgeted like I think it was $10,000 or $12,000. The previous year there was 25 budgeted. We spent like a third. The practice has been, and it goes back years, to not touch that particular line item unless, I don't know why, and I'm not going to press Paul to answer the question. But we should be able to do regular maintenance and then non-routine maintenance. Mm-hmm. And the non-routine item, if you pay for non-routine expenditure, like a $10,000 pump, out of your fiscal year budget versus reserves, you still got to take that fixed asset and stick it into the module, so eventually it gets considered part of the reserve replacement requirement.
Yeah.
So it's really a good subject to spend some time on, because it would certainly make it better for us to run the district and just keep up with replacing things as they need replaced versus trying to figure out how to pay for it.
Right.
You know, just make sure the staff can keep up what they feel is necessary to do their job.
Yeah, I think our last year was 16,800. I have it here in front of me. It came before the board. Going back to the water meter replacements, do we have a long-term projection of when we will be complete? Will that be an ongoing situation? A, and B, should that be part, a very small part of a capital replacement project?
So A, we are getting that information. We've gotten it from the billing following up on the last board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a significant amount of the older meters in the district. We still have to go through serial numbers to separate that group out,
right,
to try to figure out what the ages are, and then upon that build what we anticipate to roll forward with replacement.
We're working on that number, but we don't know it yet.
Yeah.
Right.
And so to figure that out, it will take some doing, and mm-hmm. we're working on it.
Okay.
Ideally, I believe that should be separated out as an asset. In the current system, I believe everything's just kind of rolled into distribution system.
Right.
You know, which doesn't expand on anything.
So
it's not adequate.
So even though it would be an extremely small capital replacement item, if it were in a five-year capital replacement plan, we could budget small dollars 5 years out.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing with these meters and their systems, they're 20 years.
Yeah.
So the asset should last 20 years. They're about, we should probably have like a 15-year life cycle on it, because it's a 10-year full warranty item and then 10-year prorated past that.
Yeah.
So they're...
Yeah. That's why I asked the question rhetorically, so that we can consider whether or not it should be part of the five-year capital replacement program.
Because I think we did 140 some odd meters last year, if I remember the reports from the board.
Yeah,
115 or 140. So if that's an average year, that's kind of the course we're going. So
we kind of want to speed that up, and that's the point of this.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Understand.
All right.
Cash registers essentially, so we'll make sure they're working right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, moving on to sewer. The $4,200 per year for compressor maintenance, I would have Paul to talk about this.
So we have, when we bought compressors at our wastewater facility, we needed to maintain a five-year warranty on them. And to maintain that warranty, we had to get into a maintenance plan with the contractor, and every vendor that we went out to bid had the like same type of formula built into their system. You had to enter into a maintenance plan with it, and that's just part of that maintenance plan to keep the warranty up.
Yeah.
That was all in the board packet when it was approved way back when.
And then there's non-routine maintenance and repair, and then Paul wants to evaluate the use of rate flow controllers and automated telemetry valves for the drying beds.
Well, instead of explaining, what's the dollar amount?
I just said telemetry and I was happy.
Still working on that too.
Okay.
Figuring that out.
Is this going to be a multi-year plan?
So
we start this fiscal cycle coming up, or do you think you can get it accomplished in the fiscal year?
Not in this fiscal year, but next potentially. So what we want to do is start to automate the facility. Everything mm-hmm. here is manual control.
Right.
What you want to do is start taking those manual control valves and start automating those.
I understand.
And that's what it's part of.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So everything can then be flow-paced, and you can control
right.
it through a system right. and modernize it.
So again, this will be one of those. It'll be a multi-budget cycle.
Yeah.
If we get some seed money going.
No.
Okay.
Just upgrading existing facilities. It's a step forward in modernization.
And again, those might be capital improvement items.
Yeah.
And then the same thing, evaluate issues with district infrastructure. The drainage fund will propose to increase the special tax rate 2%. That's the limit of our increase. The chasing the metal catch-up. Consulting needed to support the MS4 implementation for LID and Hanset standards.
Hydro modification.
Hydro modification.
So.
And low impact development, LID.
So it's one of our requirements of our MS4 permit is that we have these standards in place to make sure that new development and facilities meet the standards that won't impact drainage in a point that would be directly detrimental to downstream receiving waters. So it's, we don't have that standard, so.
And then the pyrethroid monitoring that Paul talked about, we support.
So all costs being added, regulatory costs being added, without any relief from the 2% cap on the special budget. Last year's budget that the board adopted for drainage, the special tax rate underfunded it by 27.9%. And so it required funding from other resources.
So it comes from general use property tax.
Mm-hmm. And so it's going to go up again this or that rate will go, unfunded rate will go next year. Okay.
And then solid waste, Jack's expecting the rate to go up less than 2%, which is not what he was telling us last year. He was telling the rate for a 5-10% increase.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty happy with that. And that's pretty much the pass through. It's same with the Sacramento landfill surcharge. What they charge us, we charge the ratepayers. We probably have to do a little correction because we've always been a year behind. So instead of $1.27, it might go up to $1.31.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we can consider a household hazardous waste event if we'd like, an event, or we can just kind of go with the flow of what Cal Waste provides. And I think they have twice a year pickup of hazardous waste. Mm-hmm. And then they advertise it and people put it out.
Mm-hmm. Which is like electronics and?
I believe electronics, he told me they had electronics kind of on the same twice a year schedule. Mm-hmm.
I thought electronics was part of bulky waste.
Bulk waste.
Okay.
So you just have to let hazardous waste?
Paint?
Pesticides, paints,
okay.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Can we back up one? I don't know if I understand. I'm sorry, not slide, but the estimated 2% for the county. I heard what you said, but I don't know if I understood what you said by we're behind by a year.
So last year when I was doing the budget, I estimated it's going to go up like 2-3%. So I raised it by 2.3%, but I noticed after the fact that it hadn't been raised the previous year. So it needs to go up each year to keep up with the county. They actually charge us. This year they're actually charging us $1.27 for every household when we're charging ratepayer $1.25.
Okay.
So next year when the rate goes up to $1.29 or $1.30, I'm going to actually put it up to where the county charges.
So it's down 27 per
household
month per meter
per account.
Yeah,
right. Per account.
Yeah. And I know what that's for, and they're not using it to do it because part of that is good neighbor money, and if you're looking at the crap on the Jackson Highway lately, they're not picking it up. So maybe we hold a payment until they do it.
Right.
Right. Listen, I thought that
they won't mind
was going
to
stay covered. Okay, I thought the stuff was not going to blow up. It's a short drive.
Okay.
It's not coming from those folks anyway.
It's okay, and
no.
Jeff is not here, so if there's any real critical questions, we'll do the best we can. Yes,
I just had a quick question. Can we get a list or definition on that, if there's a difference between hazardous waste and bulky waste.
And what? Bulk waste?
Bulk
waste. Oh, yes.
I'm sure we can.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want us to send you that answer? Or you want us
sure. To well, everybody can hear.
Okay.
And?
I can get that.
Okay.
Okay.
Like Jeff said at the last board meeting, he is basically about an employee a half shy of full staff, and he's really happy with the staff he has. They seem to be a good crew. You've met most of them because they come to the events we have here and stuff, so we're going to budget security and patrol at that security control wages and budget fully staffed. He's asking for an upgrade to the south gate, so the videos were visible, all the videos were visible, but currently is not somewhat limited because of the infrastructure he has. Will increase the special tax rate 2%. And Les will tell you, I think we're funding security to the tune of about $127,000.
It should be close to $250,000.
Yeah.
It's way okay.
Going back just a couple, I know we're way early in the project or process. I don't know if we should limit ourselves to just the south gate and just say it's a video upgrade, because we've talked about that. We're going to have policy coming out. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there are issues that we've talked about, storage. So instead of putting us landlocked or that, you have the flexibility at your level, Mark, to, you know, if it's $5,000 just for the south gate, so be it. But we have other things moving forward. So I don't want us just to be in a line item. I would rather it just be video upgrade and or whatever we want to call it, and move it forward. That way you've got flexibility to move the budget items around once you get the approval.
Sure.
Because
okay.
It'll fall
sounds
in your
good.
Your authority and in your budget responsibility.
We just know that a good upgrade to the system, we ran across this at my former job, expensive. So
oh, I understand.
Between $50,000 and $75,000.
And again, this might be a multi-year process, and I'm more than okay with it. It's just I don't want us to get locked into one thing. I want you
understood.
To have the flexibility to go, hey, we're pushing the south gate out to the next fiscal because we get this done.
So this, and just to be clear on this specific
yes.
ask here, this is more for the capability. We've added a lot of video cameras recently,
mm-hmm.
and it's to incorporate those cameras into
right,
the south side for continuous monitoring. Well, when I say continuous, to the best that a gate person can
right.
between checking the check-ins and such. So, yeah. All right, that's a good idea. Good suggestion.
What's our net revenue off the security tax?
The revenue estimate for the security.
Well, I can answer. Yes, I should know. But
I'm going to guess that it's like $1.3 million.
That's pretty close. Last year? Wait a minute. 1.6?
Is that 1.6 with the general fund contribution, or is it all by itself?
No, that's with. So it's
$1,385,000.
The shortfall, give or take, rough, coming into the new year.
17 last year, almost 18.
Should have brought my glasses. So yeah, we budgeted 1.378 and
right.
we contributed from sales taxes. Where's the sales tax? With a general fund contribution. I think the revenue from the sales tax was around 250.
Yeah, that's
so
never at 6 a month.
I would guess the revenue next year will be about close to 1.5 with the addition of the new homes and stuff. Tax revenue, special tax revenue, and then property taxes offset the rest of that.
Right.
We'll be a lot more specific this time around than we were last year.
Yeah.
And then, no, I'm just trying to understand what the shortfall looks like over the tax. I don't want to know from what gets contributed out of property tax or anything else. I'm just trying to understand what that number is.
For this fiscal period, it was $250,000.
Okay, so we're
that was the estimate.
It's costing
mm-hmm.
us next year probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $300,000. Well, we get 2%. So what's it, it's going to cost us $250, $300 to drive the bus?
Over the 2%.
Over the bus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So divided by...
That's like 10 bucks.
Divided by 2,700 meters. Yeah.
We can do. We can break that down better for you.
No, I'm just trying to get, you know, okay.
Yeah, last year with the special, I mean, with the general fund contribution of 269, it was 15.6% underfunded from the special tax.
I mean, going back to it, when we first started spinning the wheels on approving this, everybody was driving it towards a $750,000 a year budget that we were ultimately going to attain, and we were, you know, we're stratosphere.
Yeah. And that's really going to be driven by where we're going to think we're going to end up with the new MOU.
Mm-hmm. MOU?
The contract.
The salary changes for the security staff.
And also other legislation on minimum wage salaries could impact the lower end of, of our gate officers.
I mean, the real, the real problem is, it's not a problem, is we can probably work our way through this as long as we're not offering any new services, period. Any new people, any new cars, any new gates, any new this, any new that. We're maxed out. We've been maxed out for years.
And gaining efficiencies.
Right. I mean, yeah, we're trying to throw 50,000 at it here and there so we can save the burden on what we have, but we're not going anywhere beyond what we have.
Well, when you add what Jeff has added with the ABDI stuff, being able to keep real-time tracking of where everybody's at, you throw in the use of the body cameras, so that takes a lot of time off, you know, being able to answer questions quickly about who said what and when. The software he has allows the guys to write their reports in the field, get dispatched in the field, and keep track of it all. All that falls into something that's called a force multiplier.
Yes.
You know, and nothing's better than the cameras. But, you know, the body cams that save a lot of time, keep a lot of the officers on the street versus how they do other things. So the efficiencies and what Jeff and Mark and Abe have accomplished in the past.
Considerable.
Couple of years is a big deal. And, you know, the iPads in the cars, being able to share a lot of information up front, being able to take field interview cards, you know, type out field interviews on their computers, all that really helps with keeping the officers on the street, keeping people, you know, focused on what they should be doing instead of paperwork and such. And then the last bullet, focus on optimizing the gate access and control process.
Yes.
So, the next steps, you know, we'll have an internal meeting with the finance committee next week.
It's the board meeting.
Tuesday.
And then March 18th, we come to the board with what we consider to be the ask for next year's budget. So we're scrambling to make sure we have as much information, make as good of an estimate of a guess as possible, because a week from that date, we will mail out the Talk 218 notice. And does anybody have any questions about what that means? So that will say, here, what your bill's going to look like in order to fund our operations next year. And then the 26th, we'll make sure we got the notices mailed out on time, because we have a 45-day window between the 26th and March 26th and May 20th. So we have to, the Prop 218 notes have to go out 45 days before the first reading of the budget on May 20th. And in between that time, we do a lot of, you know, streamlining things. We can have other meetings. If you guys want to have another meeting like this, we could. And then another month goes by and we do the second reading of the budget on June 17th.
Refresh me, did we'll we have a special meeting from the proposed budget that we had in March before the mailer went out?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we had, we weren't able to get it all together by what I think was March 23rd.
Yeah, it was, so we did have it. So I guess my question is, Is that something we want to start looking at, throwing dates out? Or do you feel confident we're going to have it on the 18th and we can make it happen?
We can set a tentative date, set a tentative schedule, so it's better.
I know we did it last year, but we're in a completely different position on understanding the budget than we were last year.
Much better.
So, like I said, I'm just thinking we had to do it last year. Do we want to block a date just so we're not scrambling on the 18th to try and have a date and work with staff? Because I think it would be a date that would work for staff. Tell us, you know, the following week of March, these are the dates that would work should we have to have a meeting. And again, we only need 3 board members to get the quorum, but we're in a completely different position, comfort zone of the budget than we were last year at this time.
I have no problem with that. I think it's a good idea if you want to focus and crawl through the spreadsheets one, you know, for a 2-3 hour period. I think it might be useful. It gives us a lot better chance to really go through the CIP projects. You know, we're not presenting the CIP projects today. We're just talking about them. We'll bring the CIP projects to the Finance Committee. But if you want to have a special meeting,
I don't totally want.
Support that.
No.
Let's set one and then.
And then we can cancel that. I prefer that. I don't want another meeting. No.
I may be gone, but he's willing to stay all day and for you, right?
So then I'll send out a proposed dates that work for staff.
The week after board.
It'll probably be like the 24th or the 23rd. You know, it'll be right before the notice needs to go out.
Yeah.
I'll just get a tentative together tomorrow.
It just that way, and again, if we don't need it.
Yeah. Trick is too that as long as you're and we seem to be this time, as long as you're together enough that your initial outreach to the public is not way off of what your final number comes up with, as long as the initial number is not wild, you're going to glide through the process. What used to happen a lot was they'd throw 13% at you, the community would go wild, and then they'd come back in and it went. Or something like that.
I don't see that happening. The waste contract coming in a lot less than expected is good. I would
call Jack on that one more time. That doesn't, God bless him, but with what he's getting out of recycling, boy, I don't know what he's doing. He must be a magician.
Or he's not recycling and it's just so much cheaper and it's landfill based.
Right.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's where it costs. It's
processing costs.
Yep.
But see, they were offsetting, yanking out the aluminum and the good stuff.
Right. Right.
You know, I don't know, but that's fine if that's what he's doing.
Well, I think the biggest hits are going to be some of the salary stuff and then the GSR and stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you want to, like, percentage-wise, ballpark it off the average bill. What do you think it is? Is it big? Is it small, medium, or large?
Here's a landmine. Step on it.
Yeah.
What was it? 5.79% last year.
It was under 6.
And that included a 2.75% salary increase for the unwraps and a 10% coming for the representative staff. It included most of what you see here, but the GSR main rate didn't go up that much. But the CalPERS rate has not gone up as much as I thought it would be. So I'd be safe to guess that.
Where are they in their calendar as to telling you exactly what that is?
Oh, they're done.
They're done? Okay.
They've already done it.
So they hung themselves regardless of where the economy goes,
right,
and the stock market goes.
Yeah, they're committed.
They're 3-year budgets at CalPERS. Okay. So they're happy with their return rate. I think it's at 6.75% right now. And while there's been bad stuff lately, I think they've been fairly accurate.
Well, they've had an 18-month or 24-month enjoyment period there.
Right, and they haven't increased their rate of return in that period of time either. But they give us a table. It's like an amortization schedule for your house that says your unfunded liability is set to disappear in like 15 years, or you can pay it off today, and it's. The number is not as high this year as it was last year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So
it's going to get better because your Class 8 is going to retire and you're going to have more PEPRA that's much cheaper.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
And I, again, we're talking long term. I think as we start looking at the age of the employees and those type of things, then we can start that projection, just what you said, and we'll see that bell curve.
Yes.
Take effect.
I already noticed the security classic already dropped and had a lot of increase.
Oh, okay. Right.
And then, but our retiree medical, we had 4 retirees.
No, I understand that.
Mm-hmm. We didn't think any of those people.
All right. Complete your presentation of the draft budget?
That's it.
Okay. Director comments and suggestions, item number 5, but are there any other staff comments first? Questions? Okay. Director comments, suggestions, other than those that have been proffered during the meeting? Okay. Item number 6, we'll make a motion for adjournment. Second?
I'll second it.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.